Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
You are listening to Fast Break Friday, presented by Ale 81, Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926. Pick up a pack of original, zero, or cherry Ale 8 today for your next tailgate. Now, here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
There's supposed to be music. We have no music. ESPN Orchestra taking the day off. Yeah, everybody's got supply chain problems. We can't get the orchestra.
I apologize, Bob. I came back here just to tell Process, hey, if you want to get a pepperoni pizza, you should probably hurry up. And he goes, well, yes, I'm doing that. Then he just hits the open. He said, no music today. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, yep. I understand. It's pepperoni pizza. I mean, what the hell? You know, it's just this pepperoni pizza there. It's you know, every man for himself. I mean, that's the way that goes.
Our good friends from Beardo's.
You know, oh. Well, thanks to ruining the opening of my show. And ruining last night, Prime, what's the Ravens, for Lamar's last game before he comes back to have his jersey retired, and they take it on the chin against the hapless Dolphins. I was disappointed to see that. Mike's not here, by the way, if you're wondering. I'm not monopolizing the open. He's still taking care of his medical situations, and we wish him the best. And that was good to see him in New York. We were both up in New York for the Champions Classic, but he's not here today, unfortunately. So it's a busy day for your humble host here. We've got the game going on tonight, so we'll do the show here, and then we'll head to the arena for Furman and Louisville. Furman won their opener. They beat North Greenville. I'm not trying to be snarky because they're probably in town. I don't want to piss them off, but I don't have any idea who North Greenville even is. I had a lot of pride in learning about small college teams because I coached at the non-Division I level for a lot, so you always kept track of, you know, who was good, who wasn't, and trying to put scheduling together and stuff. But I have no idea who these people are. I really don't. So Furman won 118-66. So I don't know if they scored 62 points in the first half, 56 in the second. So I don't know whether it's just because they were so much more physically superior or they really do want to play at a fast pace. I should know that. I think, don't they play fast? I thought they did. I have to go look at the Ken Poms. I thought their pace of play was fast. If that's true, that will help Louisville tonight. So they want to try and force the game to go faster because they didn't do a very good job of getting the kind of tempo they wanted last game. So we'll see how that happens. Let's go take a look at the Ken Pom and see what we find out. But I do know this, that I really wanted to start a new thing with Mike today with basketball season here. I was going to pick our I don't want to say upset special because I'm not necessarily sure they're going to win. I mean, if you do this long enough, you'll go broke trying to do this. But I was going to try and find double-digit spread games in college basketball, and or thereabouts. Maybe if it was like a 9-point spread or something, we'd still do it. But I like 10 because it's four possessions, and then pick that that game as a possible upset game. So we may have to do that on a solo tonight. He didn't send me his picks today, so we'll have to let the listeners do it again, because it's just as well, because last week I had him email the picks to me, and I've had two bad weeks in a row. So what one time was a 12-point lead is now down to 5. I have 23 points. He has 18. He got 3 right last week. I got one measly old game right, and that was the Baltimore Ravens. Thank goodness for them covering last week. But the rest of it, no, it wasn't the Ravens. It was Penn State covering. I took the Bears in the NFL. That was a mistake. So anyway, we'll get to those picks later. So if you want to send us your picks, we'll get those in. I'm sure I won't see Nick because there's pepperoni pizza there, right? So he probably won't get into the studio until what, about
12, dude, I got like the last slice of pepperoni, so yeah. He'll get
he's probably wrestling produce.
Yeah, I'll get the other ones.
He's probably wrestling giggles for it, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so. Look, I get very ornery if I don't get pizza. So, I mean, giggles did me a solid and opened the show for me.
Did you get your pepperoni slice?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, thanks to Bernos. So we'll give
thanks to Bernos.
Begrudgingly, I give them thanks for wrecking our open, but that's okay.
That's okay.
It's that good. That kind of goes with their theme, right?
Yeah, it's that good. It's that good. I'm going to wreck your open.
It's that good that if it comes to choosing to do your job or get pizza, the hell with it. We're going to get pizza.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Look, my ass has been glued to this chair since 7, so I'm sorry. Yeah, I need to stretch my legs.
I get it. I'm just wondering where the big head of producer is. He must be back there wrestling with some pizza.
He's either getting pizza or he's podcasting or he's talking and yucking it up with somebody. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, same thing. It's Friday. Everybody's got the envelopes out, putting the stamps on, getting ready to mail it in.
Trust me. I was there a long time ago.
Let's try and just stagger to the weekend. So then there you go. But we're glad that you're with us, letting us be part of your day. It's Fast Break Friday, and there's a lot to talk about in the world of basketball and the world of football as well. College football and the NFL, of course, and of course not only the college game and basketball, but the NBA situations. It was great for the, you know, so many Lexington people listening. There was so many. It was like the Knicks have truly become UK North, and so at the Champions Classic the other night, it was unbelievable. It was Thibodeau was two seats over from us, and then there was Randall and Quickly and Toppin and I mean I know Toppin didn't go to UK, but his brother does, and it was fun. It was fun to the environment, that crowd. I talked about this on last night's show. But for those of you on the network, kind of just to recap, if you will, if you walked out of there, first of all, just put everything aside about who was in the games. It was fun to be back. We've gone so long from that environment, and I am biased. The Garden is a very, very special place to me for a lot of reasons. I was able to coach games there. My brother played and coached games there. And the Knicks, of course, are my team when I grew up. And I've had so many happy memories of being in that building. And it's been renovated. It looks beautiful now. It's old. It was built in 1960. Let me see. My brother played in the last years of the old Garden in 67. So it was built in maybe 68, 69. I think 68. I think the 68, 69 season was their first season, I'm pretty sure. And then the Knicks won one of their only two championships the next year in 69, 70. So it was, you know, they had a sparkly new building and a championship team. It was glorious times. My watchdog dog is at the front door guarding me, so please don't be alarmed. Anybody who walks by, mailmen, other people walking dogs, we have deer that go by on occasion. If he feels it's his job. He's bred to do it. Thank you, Simon, for letting me know. I see them out there. Thank you. So if it gets worse, I'll have to take a minute and go and shut the door. It's one of our neighbors just pulled in. That's why. So he feels compelled to let me know. But the atmosphere was terrific. It was great to be back. It was very close to a sellout. It may not have been. There may have been a couple of seats at the very, very top rows that were still open, but not many. It was, and they were loud, enthusiastic. Of course, you know, BBN travels anywhere, so they had a lot of people. And then the Duke people show up from all their jobs on Wall Street, so they were there in big numbers. And so it was a very, very good doubleheader. Let's start with Michigan State. Because, to be honest, they're not at the level of the other three right now, and I'm not sure they even will be. If they all progress, and that's the thing I talked about on yesterday's show, that you really do appreciate what these coaches bring to their programs, because, nobody's paying these guys the money they're paying them just because they have, hey, we can't put any more money in the library. Let's just go pay a coach all sorts of money here. They make a difference. And last year, they weren't able to coach. I mean, they didn't have the opportunity. It was taken away to coach the way they're normally coaching. And so many of the things that they normally do were prevented from COVID. And there are different ways that they go about their business. There are different styles of play, and there's different ways they relate to their players. But they all build a chemistry, and they build a kinship on the team, and they teach. They teach different ways, but they do definitely all teach, and they had no chance to do. I mean, Izzo told me last year that they were, he had, I think they went through two really long stretches where they didn't get to play, and when they finally got cleared to play, he came back. They said on Monday, okay, you guys are good to go, and then he had to play at three straight road games in the Big Ten all within a week, on Thursday, Saturday, and Monday. So, you know, I don't know. That's not normally how people build their program. So you look at the records. I mean, Michigan State, 15-13. Kentucky, 9-16. Duke, 13-11. Those are not normal years. I mean, if one of those teams had a year like that, you'd say, okay, well, that happens. I don't care how good the coach is. Things happen. Guys get hurt or, you know, chemistry's not there. Team players are not as good as you think they are. And you get a, you know, Kansas was the only one that in 30 games even got to 20 wins. We're 21-9. But everybody else, and you know, and they got bounced from by USC in a big way from the NCAA tournament. They got walloped. So it's not going on anybody's scrapbook these years. And I'm contending that a lot of it had to do with the fact that these guys, you know, they're terrific coaches, and that's why they get paid the big dollars, and they could not do what they normally do. They couldn't teach the way they wanted to, and they couldn't get the kind of chemistry they wanted. I mean, you know, they were telling me. I didn't ask. You know, last year's done, but they all kind of volunteered it when I kind of at least had to say, how about this crowd tonight? You know, what a difference, and they would volunteer. Yeah, it was very tough last year. You know, the guys would come in, and they would practice, and then everybody would leave. And they'd go, you know, back to their rooms and eat in their rooms, and you couldn't get together. You couldn't, you know, it's even something as simple as second nature for most coaches. You know, you walk over and you put your arm around a guy if he's – maybe struggling a little bit. I mean, you really couldn't do that. I mean, everybody was told this, you know, unnecessary contact is you can't do it. And so everybody was playing, walking on eggshells and coaching the same way. And it translated, I think, to what you saw on the court. So the reason I bring that up is because Michigan State right now, I think, is behind the other three. But I think Izzo will, assuming that they don't have more COVID problems this year and stoppage, he'll build with this team because he's got components to do good things. I mean, he's got the Tyson Walker, who transferred, was the player of the year in the Colonial Athletic Conference. They need to learn to play with him. He only had 2 points, but he's a good defender. He was the defensive player of the year in the league. A.J. Hogard was terrific in the game. Tough, strong kid. He's Izzo's kind of guy. He gets to the basket, and you're not going to knock him off balance. You know, Gabe Brown can shoot it, and he's got some size. They've got components they didn't have last year. They did not have a point guard set up right. The two kids they had playing point last year both transferred, and it's one of those things. Izzo is noble, but he says it's because he tried to put a square peg in a round hole, or round peg in a square hole, whatever the cliche is, meaning those two guys really were not suited to what he was asking them to do. And if it starts there, and if you don't get good guard play, you're going to have a problem. And I think they'll get good guard play, so they'll be better. They're picked, I think, somewhere in the middle-ish of the pack in the Big Ten. That seems about, you know, right on paper. But he's got components there he didn't have last year. They've addressed some things. They're a little tougher. They can defend. I think they'll be an NCAA tournament team, but I don't think the ceiling is as high. The other three teams all have a chance to have a special team, a special year. I don't think there's any question about that. And again, you start, I just said about Tyson Walker for Michigan State, all of them have backcourt players that are extraordinary, especially lead guards. And you know, Kansas has a kid that's remarkable to me, that he's the player of the year in the league. He never played so far for Kansas, and he's the preseason player of the year, Remy Martin. And he had no points in the first half, had 13 in the second half. And when Kansas broke the game open, it was much closer first half, and they got some separation in the second half, and they won somewhat comfortably, although Michigan State was tough and battled. But they've got he's going to be a very important thing. And then Ochai Agbaji, who is the guy who tested the waters for the NBA, came back, and he is playing up to his, you know, aspirations in the first season. He was 5 of 7 from the three-point line in their exhibition game, and then he was 3 of 6 behind the arc in this game. He had 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 23, 25, 27, 29 points, and he's a 37% career three-point shooter. He scored inside and out. He's a good free-throw shooter. He made all 6 of his free throws. They have that. They have a rim protector, David McCormick, who they really believe can be a 15-point, 8 or 9 rebound guy a game. He didn't do that in this game. He had about 10 points, but he's giving an inside defender, and he's just got to get consistent at that level. He's a terrific free throw shooter for a guy that size, so that works out well. And he's got returning guys back, you know, which helps. Mitch Lightfoot comes in and he'll give him some minutes there, and you know, he's got a Christian Brown, who should be a good shooter, but he took two shots in this game that looked like stray field goal kicks. They were so far off. I don't know what's going on with the shooting, but he, you know, he should be a decent shooter. And so they've got components, and they look like, you know, one of the things every coach we said emphasizes different things. Jim Calhoun used to say, if I go to your practice for 15 minutes, I should be able to walk away and know three things that are really important. Well, if you go to Bill Self's, you will know that he's going to push defensively and especially his guards. And Remy Martin is not, that's not second nature to him. So that's something that he's going to have to develop. But I think they will. They scored 87 points. He loves to push it. That's the other thing they do. He's always had those speedy guards. And so he's going to want to push the ball. And I think he's got the components to do it. The second game, I mean, I'll save UK for last, but Duke's got a chance to be really special. They, for some reason, I don't know whether it's by design or what, they seem to not have the kind of depth that other teams do. He really only plays usually about seven meaningful guys, and you know, it that's the way, and he played a lot of 2-3 zone, I think, Krzyzewski did, in large measure, because he was trying to protect guys, keep him out of foul trouble, because he knew he didn't have a very deep bench. Well, they're back playing. I mean, he worked with Boeheim, and he became an advocate of it to some degree. He sees the value of it, but in his heart, he is who he is. He's West Point, Bob Knight, disciple, and really was a terrific teacher of man-to-man defense and really believes in it. And I noticed they didn't play one possession of zone against UK in this game, even though, UK was not a great shooting team last year, and so you might have said, well, let's have them prove it to us this year. But they shot it well from behind the three-point line. Inside the arc, they didn't shoot it especially well, but outside they shot it pretty well. And so he didn't play any zone at all. But they were able to play man-to-man effectively, and I will get to that when it comes to Ty Washington for UK. So I think he's got a team that can play defense the way he likes. He's got some returning players. Mark Williams, the Louisville people will know, he had 23-19 in the ACC tournament last year before the season ended for Duke in the game that they eliminated Louisville. He was extraordinary, and he's still a great defender. He was blocking shots this game. He gives them an inside presence. Wendell Moore's a terrific defender as well, and he can score. He had 12 points, 6 field goals. And then there's Paulo Banchero, who is absolutely the real deal. I mean, I'm a guy that says, all right, save me the hype. Let me see the guy. You know, let's see him at this level. Because we've had, how many guys have we seen that have been, oh, this is going to be a guy. I mean, not to be mean-spirited, but I mean, the UK, the preseason calls we had when we were doing the shows last year, fans were elated. This is going to be a special team. I mean, there were some people like, we may go undefeated in the SEC. That's how excited everybody was. And it was not it's just every year they look at it this way. It was a highly touted recruiting class, and they really thought they had a chance to have something special. And I wish Pratt were here, because I don't want to put him on the spot. He is, loyal to his last atom in his body, his last molecule, but he kind of told me in the preseason as they were going through it, he was like, I don't know about this team. He wouldn't, not for the air. He said, there's off. There's a couple of ball stoppers. They don't have a great chemistry. They don't buy in defensively. There's a lot of things that are not right. And sure enough, came back to bite them, but they wound up with a struggling year. But, Duke had the kid quit last year in the middle of the season. I mean, we're seeing bizarre things, but I think a lot of that was COVID. I really do. But Banchero, is not, a fraud. He can play. The dude can really play.
Is it Banchero or Banchero?
Banchero.
Banchero, okay, because I've heard it bantered around as both, and I want to make sure I get it right.
People say Banchero are saying it wrong. It's Paulo Banchero. It's in their media guide.
Paulo Banchero.
Yeah, okay. So get the H out of your head. He was eight for nine from the free throw line, made his first 8 free throws, can go inside, can go outside. He had 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22 points in this game, and equally distributed in both halves. His presence on the floor was terrific. And he was not even the best player on his team. That's what I said yesterday, which still is kind of astounding. Trevor Keels, who's also, by the way, a McDonald's All-American, he doesn't get nearly the attention Banchero does. He was the best player on the floor. He was unbelievable. He was the best player on Duke's team, and that's saying something, because Banchero didn't disappoint. It wasn't like, well, he didn't bring it. He did. But Keels was extraordinary, especially in the second half when the game was on the line. He had 7 field goals in the second half, 16 16 points after an 11-point first half, and just really carried them, shot a great percentage, strong, got in the lane, really, really good. So Theo John looked like half of a collision looking for the other half most of the time he was out there. I don't know what that was all about, but he's got experience. He played at Marquette. That's the other thing they have. They have experience. They've got, you know, the NBA caliber talent. Keels is a McDonald's All-American. Banchero's a McDonald's All-American. A.J. Griffin, who hardly played, is a McDonald's All-American. Theo John has great experience for Marquette. And then they have, the experienced guys coming back. I mean, Jeremy Roach is a solid, steady performer in the backcourt. Wendell Moore is terrific. And so, and they got guys like Joey Baker, who's not going to make you rise out of your chair with his athleticism, but he knows the system, and you can put him in. He's not going to hurt you. So they got a chance to be good. They got a chance to be very special. So that leads us to UK. And I don't, the people listening in Lexington, I don't know what went on where you were doing it, but I was, you know, intrigued, obviously, when I got back. And so I decided to tap into the post-game show. Oh, and there's the dog telling me again there's somebody outside. He's protecting me. Nobody is going to come and kill me during this show. I'm confident of that. At least not without my knowing it. So thank you.
I'm gonna say, I feel like some of the listeners be like,
hold my beer. Right, I'll take that challenge. Yeah, exactly. But, there were people. Nick, you were here. I don't know. I was stunned at how negative everybody was. I was absolutely dumbfounded. Well, we're 9-17 over our last 26 games. You know, Ty Washington. You know, he wasn't anywhere near what he needs to be. Cal's lost it. You know, look at the freshman that Duke has. And I was like, really, seriously? Were you watching the game? I mean, because it was the first real game. No disrespect, as I said yesterday, to Miles or Kilometers or whoever the hell they played. I mean, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful of them, but that's an exhibition game. It is what it is. This is the first game. I don't care how talented you are, for a guy like Ty Washington plays the first game in front of 19,000 people in the 9 o'clock game at Madison Square Garden against one of the best man-to-man defensive teachers in the history of college basketball. Go ahead, kid. Go out and play. I mean, you don't give the kid any, you know, that's what experience is. You know, you have to learn what is going to be effective and what isn't. And not only that, he's so versatile. He can play on the ball, off the ball. He's got to learn where he fits in with Sevier Wheeler, who is extraordinary. I mean, he's a kid who averaged 7.5 assists a game in this very league. So it's not like you say, well, all right, he did it, you know, at Davidson or Northeastern or something. He did it in this league. But he plays so fast that it's going to be a little bit of a two-way street. I think he's got to learn he doesn't have to play at 100 miles an hour every single time he has the ball. A couple of times going 90 would be okay, because the other guys have to be able to react and play off of what you're doing. And sometimes he was going so fast, there was no chance for anybody to do anything other than watch him and go, look at him go. I mean, really, that's about what it came down to. So, but that comes with experience. That'll come with the ability of playing together and learning. And Washington is a terrific player. And then, you know, I could not believe not only they were, you know, all over Cal, but they were all over him. Like, you got to play better than that young man in a game like this. Dude, it was his first college game. You can say, well, it was Banchero's first call. But, you know, he did some of that, too. Banchero made two moves early. I mean, he's so good, I don't even know if he knows how good he is. He spin dribbles, which, as people scout, he might have to be careful with, because I don't care how talented you are. You turn your back in the middle of the floor, somebody's going to come and make you pay for it. But he's so good at handling the ball at that size. He went by guys, and he was basically in. I mean, he'd done it. He'd spun. He'd gone by his guy. He was, you know, he's whatever he is, 6'10", all he had just finished. But he was going so fast because, you know, he was anticipating. You're so amped up. It's the Garden. It's UK. That he took some shots from close in. It just slammed off the backboard. And I was like, dude, you're all you got to do is plant your feet there and go up and take your time and dunk it. It would have been fine. But that is the situation. That's what we're looking for. We're early in the year when you're put in that situation and when you're faced with the circumstances that of a game like this. And so Ty will be fine, thank you. He didn't shoot it well, but he'll learn. And Cal's the only thing, by his own admission, talking to him before the game, they don't have the overall size that they've had in guards are not big to begin with, and then they don't have a lot of depth with really big players up front. But I've always believed, I believe this since I got into coaching, there was an old coach named Lou Campanelli. I don't know if you remember him. He was, what did he coach? James Madison, I think. And then he went to the West Coast. He went to the Pac-12. He was a hot ticket for a long time. And I heard him say at a clinic once, sheer height is the single most overrated aspect of evaluating a basketball team. And he's absolutely right. I mean, look at Charles Barkley. If you stand next to Charles, he was barely 6'4" and a half. But he went, you know, he would rebound everything in the building when he had the opportunity to. I mean, so they'll be okay. And they also have that other fellow who seemed to take it as a personal insult if he didn't get the rebound. Shibue was unbelievable. He had 19 rebounds. He had 12 offensive rebounds. He had more offensive rebounds than anybody in the game had total rebounds. So it's not like they have no presence up front. Now, if he gets hurt or got, you know, foul trouble or something, yeah, I mean, that's true of just about anybody. I don't know how good Duke's going to be if Bancaro got hurt or, you know, that would make a significant dent in how strong they are. But Cal's got ability to play, you know, fast. They've got speed. They've got way better shooters than they had last year. They're going to learn to play defense. I think they were trying to. They have an inside presence. Shibue's a wonderful, you know, presence when you take a guy that is – that's the one thing the coaches like is where you can be selfish. Try and get every rebound. Go ahead. I'm not going to stop you. So – and I saw him after the game, and he didn't seem to be very dejected, and I wouldn't have been either. They're going to be a good – they have the potential to have a special team. And I know he knows it. God, he knows it better than anybody. So I didn't get all the calls, to be honest with you. I really didn't. But I'm sure if we could get Lachlan McLean on the phone, he would be happy to amplify a lot. He'd be happy to explain it to me patiently why all the criticism is correct. But I'm sorry. They're pretty good. All right. We are what are we doing here?
Hey, we're taking a break, and then our buddy Paul Biancardi is going to join us. It's early signing day, early signing period. We'll talk a little bit about Shaedon Sharpe reclassifying for the Cats, the Cards getting Fred King. I believe he wants to be called Frederick King, the top international prospect of next year's class. We can get into all
really
that and more.
A guy named Frederick who wants to be called Fred is not really a story. Had he called and said, I'd like to be called Phyllis, now you got a story. But, you know, Fred, Frederick, F-Man.
I have no response to that.
Kingbo. Let's call him Kingbo. I think that works. By the way, I thought Shaedon Sharpe was going to reclassify, but is not going to play for Kentucky this year. He's just going to come and practice with them and then start playing next year. That was my understanding. I'll have to ask my Paisan friend about that. Anyway, that's what's going on. So that's my opening to the program, and I hope you enjoyed it. Please feel free to share it with your friends. We'll have Paul Biancardi next on ESPN.
I'm going to grab an
LA. 680. On 680-1057 and wherever you're listening to us on the PNV network. Thank you for that. Mike is out again if you're just joining us, taking care of some health demands, and we wish him the best. And now's a good time when there's a little minute or two to go get yourself a nice AL8 to get one that my favorite, get the sugar-free, caffeine-free, because it's not good for somebody who's taking the medications I'm taking. Have that so I can still enjoy the great taste of AL8, and I really have enjoyed all of them. They got the cherry AL8. Which one's Mike's favorite?
He loves the cherry. There's still a couple of oranges floating around, orange cream. That's more of a summer drink, but there's still I still see pockets of it every now and again. But yeah, that's fantastic. Nice. Cherry, and then he really loves the cherry zero.
Oh, see, now that one I haven't tried yet, and I could have that, so I've got to go get me one of those. So we don't have any of those in the office, do we?
We did. I think Pratt and I went through them pretty quick.
Yeah, Mike drank them all.
The audacity.
All right, we'll come back with Biancardi. Stay with us. ESPN Radio, stay with us.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet? Continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of your life? This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse their neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself and the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
This is my I Am Ready to Travel card. My We'd Like the Double Fudge Cake for Dessert card.
This is my card. With 321 rewards, you can earn 3 points on travel and transportation, 2 points on food and entertainment, and 1 point for all other purchases. This is the card that's going places, only from Commonwealth Credit Union. Visit ccuky.org/rewards to learn more. Here, we see you differently. Loans subject to approval. Rate, term, and conditions are subject to change and vary based on creditworthiness and qualifications. Insured by NCUA.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line. From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging, this approach makes a difference.
It's football season in the Bluegrass, and no tailgate is complete without L81. Nothing pairs better with barbecue, wings, and other game day favorites than the unique ginger and citrus flavors of L8. If you're looking for an adult beverage at your tailgate, L8 is the ultimate bourbon mixer. Pick up a six-pack of original L8, Cherry L8, or L8 Zero Sugar at your local Kroger, Walmart, Meijer, or Value Market. L81, Kentucky proud and family-owned since 1926.
The Kentucky men's basketball team is heading to Las Vegas to face the Ohio State Buckeyes in the CBS Sports Classic. Follow the Wildcats to Vegas on Saturday, December 18th for a big-time doubleheader that also features North Carolina and UCLA. Tickets start just at $38 and are on sale now at TMobileArena.com. Help Big Blue Nation take over the strip and take down Ohio State. Buy your tickets now at TMobileArena.com. That's TMobileArena.com.
This is Bob Valvano. As some of you know, I have stage 4 leukemia. Thanks to 2 new medications that are both less than 5 years old, my progress has been good and my prognosis is strong. Those medications only came about because of research funded from people like you. My late brother Jim said, "I need your help. It may not save my life, but it may save someone you love." This research is doing just that. We created Kentuckiana Friends of V, a local 501c3 organization that works in close cooperation with the V Foundation to fund research and preventive initiatives locally, right here in the Kentuckiana area. Won't you consider helping us in that quest? Sign up for an event, volunteer, or just make a donation at kfov.org. You really do help save lives like mine. That's kfov.org.
Hi, this is Mike Pratt. Healthy people live with high standards, which is why I take Evercure CBD. Evercure products are only made from the sweetest flowers of premium CBD hemp grown in Kentucky. When you taste this full spectrum distilled CBD oil, you will realize why Evercure CBD is Kentucky fine bluegrass made. It is truly a local treasure. It works. Purchase your Evercure at evercurecbd.com. Enter Mike P at checkout to receive 10% off your purchase.
Tired of living with awful joint pain? If you've been to an orthopedic surgeon, you know the drill. Pain meds, steroids, physical therapy, right? When those band-aids don't work, you know what's next? Surgery. Major surgery. Hey, it's Bob Valvano. Don't do it. Not until you check out QC Kinetics. Get a second opinion. Learn about natural biologic treatments. Restorative, regenerative alternatives that can repair and restore damaged tissue in your knees, shoulders, back, and hips. Other joints as well. QC Kinetics uses natural biologics from your own body and concentrates them in the precise damaged areas for long-lasting relief. And it's an in-office treatment with no downtime, no drugs, and no surgery. Don't go under the knife if you don't have to. Call QC Kinetics and get a second opinion now. You have nothing to lose. Call the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics at 502-219-4636. Non-surgical regenerative options are here. That's 502-219-4636. 502-219-4636.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by Ale 8-1. Pick up a sixer of Ale 8 for your next tailgate at Kroger, Meijer, Walmart, or Value Market. Now here's Bob and Mike.
Talk about L8 during the break there. Got me.
Ow. Oh, my God. I turned up my headphones because I thought maybe you dropped or something, and I got that right in my ear.
Oh, yeah. No, I was getting ready to open the zero sugar, caffeine-free, zero caffeine.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. I'll sip right now. Yeah, it's good. It really is good. Thanks to Ale 8 for being our sponsor. And thanks to my Paisan friend, Uncle Paulie. Paul Biancardi from ESPN joins us right now. Paul, how are you, my friend? It's been a while since we talked. It's maybe the longest gap we've ever had. Are you still okay? You still collecting human hair? Or how are things in your life?
The hair's still there. Everything is good, Bobby.
Well, you're Italian. I would expect no less.
Well, you know, age catches all of us.
So let's talk about some boys, shall we? Let's talk about Frederick, who wants to be called Fred King, and committed to the Cards. And we just had Coach McMaines on our airway yesterday, and was talking a little bit about how this came about. So tell me about this young man and how excited should he? McMaines was really just absolutely singing the kid's praises. What's your impression?
Yeah, I really like his physicality. I love his hands, Bob. He catches lobs. He catches drop-offs. And he's got a little short face-up game to go with his... I mean, he's a presence at the rim, but he's a mobile presence. Mm-hmm. I just like a lot of things athletically and defensively that he's going to bring to the game. His offense is good. It needs to get better, of course. He makes an occasional open set shot three-pointer, but that's not his game. His game is in the paint, up at the rim, and then the short post-up game he's really good at from the elbows or the mid-post. Athletic, mobile, and again, rebounds with two hands, catches everything. Fans are going to really like him at Louisville, and they need that kind of size that's going to be productive.
So he's really a pure five. I mean, right? I mean, he's not, because everybody you talk to now, nobody's five anymore. Everybody's a stretch four.
Hey, Bob, you know this one, right? Fives want to be fours. Fours want to be threes. Threes want to be twos. Twos want to be ones. And ones want to shoot more.
That's the only one that goes the other way. That's true. Ones who like to have some twos. Ones want to be combos.
Right. So, he plays his best. You know, in the lane line, that's where he's best.
That's I was struck by the fact, and I'm going to guess you must know a little of Coach McMaines, but he struck me. I mean, he's really is kind of, I think he's going to have a really bright future coaching, because he kind of clicks all the boxes for the new way of coaches. You know what I mean? I mean, he's you used to really have to scour the summer, the camps and the high schools, and now it's all the academies and being willing to get on a plane and look at kids with international backgrounds. And he talks in good sound bites. You know, he's a really good offensive coach. He's very much a proponent of playing up tempo, and he's got all the catchphrases for it that kids can rally around. You know, he talks about not letting the metronome slow down the way they play and stuff. So I know Chris brought him in largely because he really wanted to up tempo the game, but obviously he can go recruit, and he's got good recruiting contacts as well. So that's kind of the new way, what new wave of coaches, is it not?
And to some degree, but you still have to have a great eye for talent, because you can recruit bad talent if you don't do your research and you can't, and if you can't evaluate properly. You know, everybody looks great on film. They look even better on highlights.
So you have that's true.
You know, you have to spend time in the gym evaluating of what a player, can be someday. That's the upside, right? The ability to, from where you are to where you're going to go. And it's not just the physical measurables, it's not just the skill level, it's below the surface evaluation, I like to call it. That's when you find out more about a player, and then you bring in the right guy that can develop over the course of time, and that's when you have a program with talent and talent that has some substance to it. And you talk about the offensive tempo, you know, Louisville needed to upgrade their talent because their tempo needs to be faster. We know that. And they increased their shooting with some transfers because they were, I believe, one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the ACC. Yep. So yep. Some transfers coming in, some new recruits, things could look much brighter.
So let's go up Interstate 64, go east a little bit, and talk about Shaedon Sharpe, who is going to reclassify. But my understanding, at least what I read originally, was he's going to reclassify, but he's just going to come to practice. He's not going to play. Is that true? Or because now I got a text that said he may play for the Cats this season. I didn't understand that originally. What's your thought?
Well, from what I know, is that his plan is to come in and to redshirt and to practice. To learn the language of the program, to learn, you know, to play against the starters, to make himself better, make the team better. It's a pure redshirt situation, so he'll be ready for next year a little bit sooner and earlier. Whether or not he'll play this year, that's going to be a, you know, week-to-week decision. I think Cal and the staff will look at it and say, you know, can he fit now? Where will he fit? You know, does it disrupt the rhythm and the cohesiveness of what we've built so far? I know that's not the plan for him. Could it happen? Sure. But right now his plan is to redshirt.
Yeah. I'll tell you, they don't need a lot of help, I'm sure. You weren't in New York, were you? Did you come to the Garden for the Champions Classic? Because if you didn't...
No, my heart was in New York, but no, I wasn't there physically.
All right, because I'd have been mad because you didn't come and say hello to me, so I'm glad. All right, but
no, I really like his team. I even, you know, the outcome was what it was. Duke's very good, and we know that. I think Kentucky's going to have a really good season. It's putting those transfers, Wheeler, Grady, Frederick together, Oscar, Tshiebwe, you know, with the young guys and with the returning guys. That takes time.
Yeah, Tshiebwe was unbelievable. I mean, he wanted to get every rebound in the building. You know, it was unbelievable. He had 12 offensive rebounds, so he gives them a great inside presence, and he can score some. He had 7 field goals in the second half alone, 15 points in the second half, 19 for the game. Played like he did his freshman year at West Virginia. He was back to that kind of stuff. But, I mean, Wheeler plays so fast, Paul. That's the thing I said. People were so disappointed. You know, Washington didn't play especially well. It was literally his first game. I mean, I don't talk to me about the exhibition game. I mean, this is the first game. He's at national TV, the 9 o'clock game in the Garden against one of the best man-to-man defensive teachers in the history of college basketball, Mike Krzyzewski. And the headline, stop the presses. He struggled a little bit. I mean, come on. And, you know, Wheeler's terrific, but it takes a little while, I think, even if you've played with great players, to adjust to a guy who's playing at that speed. I mean, he is going a million miles an hour with the ball every possession. So it's going to take a while for the chemistry to kick in. I mean, I don't know why people seem so shocked at that.
Because people want everything. You know, fans expect, you know, top-rated recruit. Well, he's going to be instant impact. He's going to have a great season for Kentucky. And when, you know, he starts to figure things out defensively, which he's a very good charge taker, by the way, Ty Washington. You know, it's the speed of the game. It's much faster than high school. The level of competition, everybody is like him or better. It's the physicality of the game. And don't forget this. It's the IQ of the game. You know, he had to know everything Kentucky was doing that night, and then he had to digest the scouting report on Duke.
Yep.
That doesn't happen at the high school level. That takes weeks. Sometimes it takes months. Sometimes it takes years for guys to figure that out. Ty Washington's going to be a great player for Kentucky. And guys usually get better in their sophomore and junior year. That's when they break out. A lot of people, because of rankings, and I understand I do that, but it doesn't mean they're going to be good every night. It just means that's what he's going to be when it all starts to come together. But I like the team, and you said it, but the returning players, the transfers, and the freshmen, the roles have to be ironed out, and then the chemistry has to come together. But they have a lot of fight in them, and I think that's what I came away with.
That's a great point. And Cal talked about sometimes last year they didn't have that. I mean, every time Duke looked like they were ready to really get some big separation, UK came back, put a little mini run of their own together. But then Duke's kids had that toughness too. They came right back and they got, you know, a couple of big baskets to answer the run. It was a great game. It was a really, really good game. And
I think Theo Johnson is fantastic for Duke, by the way. Every team should have a Theo Johnson. That guy's just he's a lane crusher. He crushes everybody in the lane.
Theo John, he plays like one half of a collision looking for another. he was out there beating the crap out of people. But you need that. You definitely do. I mean, and Mike likes that toughness. And I didn't think he was dirty, but he's physical. He's willing to get in there and mix it up. And so that's the way people say. Why do you say you think they can be special? I think our Faison friend Tom Izzo's team is a little behind the other three. I mean, I think if you're just going to be honest about it, I don't think he's right. He's at that level. I'm not sure the ceiling is as high, but he'll have a good team. He'll have a tournament team. And I think the difference, I was talking about this at the start of the show, is, you know, these guys will be able to work with their teams like they normally did. Last year, you had Michigan State at 15-13, Duke at 13-11, Kentucky at 9-16. If one of those teams had a down year, you can say, all right, well, that happens even to the best coaches. But when you see it all at once, you got to say, well, what's the common thread? And the common thread was COVID. These guys couldn't do what they – Izzo was telling me that they played last year, and, you know, he was away from his team. I think they had two long COVID pauses. And then they finally cleared his people on a Monday, and he had to play three straight road games in the Big Ten on Thursday, Saturday, and the following Monday. And he was like, you know, here you go. You got 2 days to get ready. Go get them, Tiger. It was like, what? You know, that's what happens. But he'll be able to work with his team, and they'll get better. And, you know, you've seen Cal enough, and I've gone to his practices, and the way he teaches, I love how these guys all have their own philosophy. And Cal believes that, you know, you just teach them how to play basketball. And eventually, with experience and some guidance, they figure out the rest as they go. And that's the whole point. And so they have only had one game right now. So now they'll figure some stuff out. And one thing I thought they did was they gave up how many threes in that exhibition game against Mills? I think they gave up 15 threes. They only gave up one three to Duke. So that was obviously something they talked about in practice and worked hard on, and they didn't give up any threes. So, I mean, you know, he doesn't get credit for teaching as much as he does. It's really not, it's not fair in a lot of ways. But these three guys are all great teachers. And don't you agree, we'll see a lot of different development because they'll be able to work with their teams like they normally do.
That's huge. The coaches spending time with the players, the fans being back in the building, whether you're home or on the road. I know Cal mentioned that. When you walk into a road game and you've got 15,000 people screaming against you, that's a great motivating force in some ways. College basketball was so different last year, and COVID affected the players, you know, mentally way more than it did physically. And it affected the coaches, too. We talk about the players. The coaches had a hard time with things as well as the players did. And the product was good last year, but the experienced team won it all with Baylor and Gonzaga. Those teams were ready-made. Those teams were going to be there at the end because those were tough-minded kids.
Yep.
And I like what Kentucky has. Again, role allocation is going to be huge. Playing with Xavier Wheeler takes time. I mean, he's an automatic assist. If you run the floor, you're going to get layups or open threes for kickouts. He's got to learn how to slow down in the half court and read the situation. But he will. He will. Yep. Battle-tested guard. Led the nation, I believe, in assists last year. I think he's the most important player that Cal got in the offseason because he always could get guys that could finish and score or shoot it. But he needed that playmaker. Last year, they didn't have that playmaker among other positions. So I think Wheeler's going to find people. And there's a lot of talent on this Kentucky roster.
But that is so true. I mean, all you could make that case for almost, well, at least for three of the teams. I mean, you talked to Bill Self, and he talked about, you know, how the important Remy Martin is. Remy Martin comes in as the player of the year in the preseason player of the year. He's never played a game for Kansas, and he's the preseason player of the year. So that's how important they think he is. And then Michigan State, Izzo said last year he was trying to put, you know, square pegs in a round hole with the guards. He had nice kids, but it was not suited. And he's got, you know, a terrific point guard in Tyson Walker this year that was the player of the year in the Colonial Athletic Association, so he's going to be good. And you already said about UK, it's a matter of severe, as I said, he has to learn he doesn't have to play 100 miles an hour all the time. He can scale it down to 85 every once in a while and it'll be fine. So and it's still a guards game. You still better have some experienced guards, or I don't care how good your other players are. So those three guys I think made their teams a lot better in the backcourt, and so we'll see how it goes forward from here. But what was your impression? Don't you think those three teams can have special years, the three I mentioned?
I do. I think they can all be there in the Elite Eight. And Michigan State, college basketball is, 4 or 5 months long? You know Tom Izzo's team is going to be right there challenging the Big Ten at the end. Freshmen grow up during the season. They really grow up during semester break, where you have that 6 weeks off of school. coaches are running two-a-days. You know, again, they didn't do that during COVID, right? They probably couldn't even have one practice sometimes. So
that's true.
There'll be more practice time between semesters. Teams will grow together. The fans bring the excitement and energy. And so when I see Tom Izzo's team, I'm concerned in January and February, because that's when they really start coming together. And same thing for all these teams you just mentioned, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke. They still have to figure out their roles. And once they figure out the role, you know, now they have to work with that unit, and the cohesiveness and the chemistry has to come together. Then Cal, the magical way that he does, he keeps guys hungry, he keeps guys competitive. You know, he coaches with an edge, and his team plays with an edge. And it's a long season, so you can't overreact to that first half against Miles College or the loss against Duke.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's do this. Here's what we're doing, and I'll explain to you. And my hope is actually that you don't follow it that closely, but I think I know you do. Every week, Mike and I have a thing where we pick five games against the spread in football, four in college and one in the NFL, and then we keep running tabs all year. And I'm ahead 23-18 right now, but he's not here this week. So when he's not here, we let the other people pick for him. So I'm going to let him. So as I'm playing against him, my hope actually is that you don't follow it that closely and you make a horrible pick. But I'm gonna let you pick any game, and I'll read some to you if you don't know them off the top of your head. You just tell me what league you think you want to go in, and I'll send you there, and then I'll give you a choice of games you can pick, and you pick one against the spread, and you'll pick for Mike. So what league would you like to go in? ACC, Big 12, SEC? Take your pick.
Let's go to the SEC.
Because it means more. All right, here are the games. If you pick the first one, I think you're out of your mind, but I'll offer it up to you. Alabama is a 51.5-point favorite against New Mexico State. I think you should just send them the check and they shouldn't have to show up. Just send them the damn money. And just, you know, that's why they're playing it. Just send them a check and then get together and do everything that you normally do for game day, but don't actually play it. Go out and tailgate, have your party, have the bands play, have the cheerleaders dance, and everybody just go home, because this is going to be a horrible game. Auburn is a 5.5-point favorite at home against Mississippi State. Tennessee is a 20-point underdog at home against Georgia. Here's a close one. Missouri at 4-5 hosts South Carolina at 5-4. South Carolina is a 1-point favorite in that one. Here's another good one. Texas A&M is 7-2. Ole Miss is 7-2. And they're playing at Ole Miss, but A&M is a 2.5-point favorite. And then locally, Kentucky goes to Vanderbilt. UK is a 21.5-point favorite. And the last one is Arkansas LSU on the road at LSU for Arkansas. They're 2.5-point favorites. You may have any one of those games against the spread. Which would you like?
I'm going to take Auburn.
Auburn is a 5.5-point favorite over Mississippi State at home. That's a good choice. You might actually win with that, which kind of disappoints me a bit. All right. Well done, Paul. It's great to catch up with you, my friend. I hope our paths cross sometime this year, although I'm told we may be doing some college basketball games remote again at the beginning. We'll be there for the ACC tournament, but I think they're going to keep us some of the regular season games. I did go for the Champions Classic, and I'll go to New York for the Jimmy V, but I'll travel with Louisville, so maybe we'll cross paths somewhere. I hope so. In any case, you take care of yourself, and we appreciate every time you come on. Thanks.
Thank you, Bobby.
All right. Paul Biancardi, great to have him with us. He's made the first pick of the day for Mr. Pratt. He's got Auburn laying 5.5 at home against Mississippi State. Not a bad play, I don't think, actually. They're a 67% chance to win the game, according to the computer. And as Mel Kiper likes to point out, don't take the points unless you think your team has a chance to win. Either don't play the game at all, or, you know, take the favorite. If you think your team has a chance to win, then you can take the points. So if you think Mississippi State had a chance to win this, okay. But the computer says that Auburn's going to win about 2/3 of the time. So he's going to take it and lay the 5.5 points. So there you go. All right, we'll come back. We've got more to go. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for those of you listening only for an hour, I guess, in Lexington. It was good to have some of your day with us. We appreciate it. And everybody else, we'll see you on the other side here on Fast Break Friday on ESPN Radio.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.